Good morning. It's good to see everyone here this morning. I may have brought the snow back from Ontario with me. I'm just kidding. It was like 50 degrees there all week. I don't know what happened. Must have got a warm spell. Turn in your Bibles. Take a Bible if you don't have one from the bench in front of you. And turn to the Gospel of Mark chapter 1 from the reading that Ken presented for us this morning, Mark chapter 1, verses 9 through 15. And then a little bit later on, I will also be referring to a passage in 2 Timothy chapter 3, if you'd like to mark that ahead of time, and also in James chapter 1. As you're turning there, it was kind of funny with the temperature this week while I was up in Ontario with my family. I have some other cousins who live in Montana and Oklahoma, and we kept referring to the temperature in Fahrenheit, and my other relatives were, of course, who live in Canada, were referring to the temperature in Celsius. So it was interesting to go back and forth. We'd say, we can't believe it's 50 out, and one of my other cousins would say, what are you talking about? It's only 20, and at 20 Celsius, of course. Or no, it wasn't 20 Celsius, it would be 10 Celsius. It's convoluted once you start dealing with that, but it was kind of an interesting side note. So we'll be in Mark chapter 1, verses 9 through 15, then 2 Timothy chapter 3, and then James chapter 1, all three New Testament books. Let's pray, and then we'll get into the sermon. Father, thank you so much for your church. And I pray that as we come before you this morning, that we come before you as people and as a church who recognizes our flaws and our imperfections. But Father, we also recognize that in your sight, we are pure and holy because of the sacrifice that your Son made for us. Father, help us to understand that identity that we have before you. Help us not to use that to rationalize or justify the times in which we fail or the times in which we are impure. But I pray that you would help us to use the sacrifice of Jesus as a motivation to fully turn from sin in our lives. Help us to overcome the differences that we have with each other and the petty things that we fight over from time to time. Help us to recognize each other for who we truly are, as children of yours, as brothers and sisters in Christ. I pray, God, that these identities would become the ways in which we view not only ourselves, but also each other. Help us to learn this morning from the passages that you have assigned for us. Help us to learn about following you in the midst of trial and challenges. Help us to learn how our faith can be strengthened at all times, just like it was for Jesus when he faced trials and challenges of his own. Help us to follow his example as we pray in his name. Amen. Thank you again for all those who called or sent a card or an email. I really appreciated it. That was a source of comfort to know how many people were thinking about us through this difficult time as well. It was interesting how this sermon came to be, if I may share a little bit about that from earlier in this week. It goes back to Sunday when I received the call about my grandfather. I was sitting on the couch. Devin was taking a nap, and I was actually planning out my week. I was writing down what I wanted to do and what I needed to get done, and I had a couple ideas for sermons that were bouncing around, and I was planning on doing one this Sunday and one again next Sunday, and I was planning things, and then my dad called with the news. Of course, that changes everything, and the plans that I had made for my week had to go. So we arranged a few things, and then I came into the office on Monday morning and cranked out a Bible study for today, so I knew that would be done. I planned on taking my sermon with me on the road and working on it a bit, but I also thought the ideas that were in my mind were some things I really wanted to work on and didn't think I'd have time. So I went to the computer and I thought, I'll go to this website that I like to use from time to time. It usually has some good resources and things. And what this website does is it follows what they call a lectionary, which is a presentation of four different scriptures for every Sunday that different churches use. And it usually has an Old Testament reading, a Psalm reading, a reading from the letters in the New Testament and a reading from the Gospels. And I said to myself, well, I'll just go and whatever the Gospel reading is for the next Sunday, I'll take that and that'll be the passage that I'm going to preach from on Sunday. I did that because I knew I was going to be under some stress and in a bit of a rush, and I didn't want to spend half the week trying to pick something to preach from. I thought I'll just take what it gives me. And it gave me Mark chapter 1, verses 9 through 15. When I glanced at that passage, the first thing that I noticed was that Jesus goes immediately after his baptism into a period of testing. And I mentioned that to my uncle, who's also a preacher, when we were together last week, that was the passage I was preaching from. And he said, that seems pretty appropriate considering the trial that we're all going through right now. And the more I thought about that, I thought that it is appropriate. And I think that perhaps what God did was give me this passage to teach me first about how to come through a period of testing and trial so that I might present this lesson to you more authentically than I might have been able to otherwise. And so this morning I want to share just a few ideas, and for those of you who are tired, don't hold me to this, but we might even get done a few minutes early. Normally when I say that, it means we're going longer than what we normally do, but I just want to present a few ideas about testing and trials and talk about Jesus and see what this means for our faith. The core idea that I wrote down for this sermon is this. Even as a follower of Jesus, we should expect to face trials. But if we walk through the trials by faith, our faith will be refined and strengthened for the mission that God has given us. I wrote that down on Monday before we left. And I was thinking about that during the week throughout this trial that my family and I had just recently walked through. As we were in Stratford at the viewing in particular, I didn't hear this so much among the family, but from different people from time to time, I would either overhear or be asked directly questions along the lines of why would God do this or how could God do such a thing? And when I was talked to about that, I tried to express to them that I didn't believe God was doing anything in particular to us. I didn't believe that God was punishing us or acting vindictively or acting even in a wrong way, that I didn't think that was even the right question. I tried to share with people who were asking that things happen to us in life, but the question that we face and the challenge that we can identify with is, what do we learn about our faith through that trial? And I believe that I learned a great deal about faith through this trial. I don't believe for a minute that God took my grandfather to teach this to me. But I do believe that God allowed me to enter into that experience as a trial in order to learn a lesson about faith. This is the lesson I learned about faith, just from my experience this week. I was strengthened in realizing how the church can rally around people in their times of need. Not only from the experience that Devin and I had from all the condolences that were sent our way, but I remember talking to I can't remember if it was my mom or dad, but I was talking to one of them on Monday morning before we left, and they asked me the question, or they said a comment about, I hope there's enough to eat while we're up there, because we knew there was going to be about 20 members of family all staying at the one house. And I said, believe me, that church is not going to let grandma be hungry. And when we arrived, that was truer than I could have known. One woman in particular who didn't even attend that church, but was longtime friends of my grandparents, single-handedly prepared enough for three entire meals for about 15 people. It was unbelievable. There were food all over the place. It was stored outside because there was so much. There was, when all of us were gathered together, there was more food than we could have known. When we arrived on Tuesday, there were members of the church who were over at Grandma's house, sitting with her, simply being with her, sharing with her. They came and went all the time. She was almost on the phone virtually the entire time that we were there because members of the church were calling her to check up on her. At the viewing, I was shocked when two members from the church in Windsor, where my parents go, came into the viewing. Two separate occasions. They drove 3 hours one way to be there. At the funeral, two other families from Windsor drove up to be there. 3 hours, 6 hour round trip to show the care that exists. And then a member from this church was there. And to see the care of the members who thought about us, and through that one member who showed up, when they came in, I saw the love that this entire church has, not only for us, and I'm not talking about me and Devin just in this case, but for each other, to take the time to make a 9 hour round trip to be there at a time of need. And I felt the love of this entire congregation through that. And through this trial, my faith was strengthened to come back to you, to be with you again today. I also had several offers to take today's sermon from me, but you know how I can be with that. I wasn't going to let an opportunity to go to stand up and preach, so I said, thank you, but I'm going to be back Sunday and I'm going to take it. You know, when we go through trials can be an opportunity for us to grow in our faith, or they can be an opportunity for us to question and doubt our faith. Most of us know people who have gone either way. We've seen people who have faced a trial and we've sat back and wondered, I don't know how they're going to get through this. And yet, by the grace of God and from the encouragement of the church family, they did. And maybe your faith was strengthened as a result of seeing how their faith grew through a trial. We've also, more sadly, seen people whose faith was tested in a trial and who began to doubt and question their faith as a result. That they began to wonder how things could happen or why this was working out that way. And although that opportunity or that trial could have been an opportunity to grow in faith, sadly, their faith was harmed as a result of that. So when I looked at this passage in Mark chapter 1, I noticed that three things happen in this passage. Of course, I noticed the second part first, I think because of the things I was going through, but I noticed that Jesus goes quickly here from his baptism immediately into a time of trial, and then immediately into a time of ministry. His mission from God begins immediately after the time of trial. And I looked at the different things that this represented in Jesus' life. When Jesus goes out into his baptism, and as the gospel lets us know here that Jesus came and was baptized by John, in verse 9, in the Jordan, in verse 10, as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit of God descending on him like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love, with you I am well pleased." And what we learn from this is the identity of Jesus as the Son of God. That God is sanctioning Jesus before the entire world, and it doesn't come down, it comes down to us from that experience. In the words of Scripture, Scripture testifies to us that Jesus is the Son of God. It confirms his identity. And then we go on to the passage in verse 12, and we read, "Immediately the Spirit sent Jesus out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and angels attended him." Immediately after Jesus is baptized, immediately after Jesus is recognized as the Son of God, he is sent out by the Spirit to be tested or tempted by Satan. And we might wonder, well, why would God allow Jesus to be sent out? Why would God make Jesus endure those things? I think it's because what Hebrews tells us later is that Jesus came to be the forerunner of all things that we would experience. But I also think that what that did is prove the identity of Jesus. Jesus had to go out immediately after his baptism into a time where he was tested and tried and went through a trial and perhaps even this temptation from Satan. It proved the authenticity of his identity. Not only was Jesus simply declared to be the Son of God, but he held up to that declaration under pressure. His identity was proven authentic, so that when he came out of that trial, what Scripture lets us know is in verses 14 and 15, that after that trial, Jesus' faith was strengthened for the mission that God gave him to do. He didn't come out of that and talk about needing to take some time off to recharge or be refreshed. He came out of that trial, that time of testing, and jumped straight into the ministry. Perhaps there's some way in which his faith was strengthened through that trial. And as I thought about that, I thought that maybe this passage creates a pattern for us to observe as Christians, as believers, as followers of Jesus, that just as Jesus was led into a time of testing after his baptism, and then through that time of testing, his faith was strengthened for mission, perhaps as Christians, we should realize that we will be tested, that we will go through trials, that there will be times of challenge and difficulty in our lives. And we can follow the pattern of Jesus in allowing our faith to be strengthened through those challenges, through those times of testing, so that when we come out of it, our faith will be even more stronger for the mission that God has prepared for us. I go back to Ephesians chapter 2 that we've talked about many times over the past couple months, where Paul reminds us that we have been created for good works. He's prepared and appointed those good works for us. He's created us anew in Christ for these good works. Our faith in a time of trial, in a time of testing, can be strengthened so that we can go out into those good works that God has prepared for us and do them authentically for God with a stronger faith because of what we've gone through and what we've been through. So I want to exhort us this morning as we turn to the book of 2 Timothy. You can turn there now if you would. To embrace our trials. Not to seek them, not to be eager for them, but when they come, to embrace them by faith. To realize that everything we encounter in life, whether it's good or bad, can be used by God to make us stronger for Him. To give us a stronger faith. And so when we look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, I want to look at verses 10 through 17. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 through 17. This is Paul writing a letter to Timothy, who was like a young protege of Paul. "You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, and sufferings. What kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evildoers and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that all God's people may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." Now, this is a passage I'm sure virtually every one of us in here has heard from time to time, because we talk about this passage in relation to what it teaches us about Scripture directly. I learned about this passage from, a long time. I was young, I guess, when I learned it. Always drilled in about the importance of Scripture, the value of Scripture, the integrity of Scripture, the God-breathedness of Scripture. But it was only relatively recently when I realized what this passage really is saying. Of course, it's teaching us about Scripture, but he's also saying when you face trials, when you face testings, when you go through difficulties, hold to what you know. The Word is solid, he's telling us. The Word is firm. The Word is true. Scripture, because it's breathed by God, gives us something we can hold to. The message of the Bible. I'm not talking about a leather-bound book. I'm talking about the message of the Word that is proclaimed to us through these pages and through the lessons that we hear. That message is rock solid. And Paul says, when you're going through sufferings and persecutions and trials and testings. You're not going to know what you can hold on to. But he says, because Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for everything that you need to know about how to live a godly life, you can hold to that message. See, he says to Timothy in verse 12, look closely at what he says. Everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, he says. He doesn't talk about this might happen. He doesn't talk if circumstances happen to go just the right way, this will happen. But he talks about every person who desires to live a godly life in Christ will face difficulties. Because Paul knows that not only is he facing persecutions and challenges and trials and testings from people who hate him and people who want to see harm done to him, but just that as you go through life, things happen. Bad things can happen. You've maybe heard of the book that's called Why Bad Things Happen to Good People. You know, it's a question a lot of us have. And Paul says, look at my example. And we've talked before about the Apostle Paul, that if anyone could complain about the things that happened to him as a follower of Jesus, it was Paul. This one who did so many things, this one who went to so many churches, this one who left so many letters that we still learn from and live by today. And yet Paul says, you know about my teaching and my way of life, but also about the persecutions and sufferings that I went through. In fact, my experience isn't unique. All of you will go through this if you also want to be a dedicated follower of Jesus. And that's what he says in verse 12. That's why he says in 14, but as for you, continue in what you learned. Because it's only that hope that is within us that we believe, and that's the reason for why we come together every Sunday, and that's the reason for why we go out and do the things that we do and believe the things that we believe and have the relationships that we have. It's only those things that are true when everything else seems like it's not. So he encourages us and exhorts us to hold true to the message that we've learned. It's solid. If any of us ever doubts in a time of trial, may I suggest that we should go back to the message that we've heard, the promises of God, that God saves his people, that God empowers his people to live a godly life. May I suggest that we should cast aside the things that bring us down in a time of testing, not to disregard the testing or the trial itself, but to have our faith be strengthened as we go through that trial by adhering firmly to the message that we've been given. This is what Paul teaches. This is why he goes on to teach about how Scripture is God-breathed, so that we have something to hold on to. Let's turn over to James. James chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 2 through 5. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 5. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. James is pretty sure that Christians will face trials of many kinds, because he doesn't use the word if, he uses the word whenever. He says whenever you face trials of many kinds. But he also asks them, or teaches them and us, to have a particular attitude when we face these trials that are bound to come sooner or later. And he says, consider it pure joy. Now, when he says joy, let's be clear that he doesn't mean run around all the time with a smile on your face and be happy. There is a difference between being happy and being joyful. Happiness can be a surface emotion that we can feel based on what's happening to us, but joy comes from deep within us and is rooted to the hope that we have and the hope by which we live and the hope that grounds our lives, the hope of eternal life and the better things that are to come that we glimpse now but will see then fully, joy is attached to that. Because joy allows us to see that even though I'm in a difficult time right now, I know that this isn't the end, and I know that something greater is coming somewhere around the corner, even if I can't see that corner now, and that's why we have joy. You know, I can be happy when my team's winning the Super Bowl, and I can be unhappy when they get scored on late in the game, and then I can be happy again when they go back and win the game. You see how happiness goes up and down, but joy comes from deep within it. It's a spiritual gift from God. It's what God gives us to enable us to get through these times and attaches itself to the hope that we have. It springs out of the hope that we have, that we live life under and through because of the things that God has promised us that we believe will come true. So James says, go through the trials that are bound to come joyfully, because in verse 3, you know that as your faith is tested, you learn perseverance. You learn how to deal with life. You learn how to deal with difficult people. You learn how to deal with difficult trials. You learn how to depend on God in perseverance. The longer you go through a trial, if your faith is being challenged and tested and growing, the longer that trial, the more you learn to depend on God. And when perseverance is finished, he says in verse 4, when perseverance is finished, you will be mature and complete. When you go through a trial, it is an opportunity for you to become more mature in Christ, to become complete in Him, to learn true dependence on God, not on ourselves and not on the things that we build, the idols that we create, to sustain ourselves. Those get proven empty in times of trial. It's perseverance by faith that leads us to maturity and completion. But what if that's what we want, but we feel like we can't get there? What if this trial is just too difficult? What if I feel like I just can't fully get my mind around it? I can't fully be led by faith in this regard? Well, James says in verse 5, if you lack the wisdom to do these things, just ask God. Ask God for wisdom. He says, what does he say? God freely gives it. Isn't that what he says? God gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. If you need wisdom to face a challenge or a difficulty or a trial that you're going through, simply ask God for the wisdom to face it. And there's no magic formula and there's no list of demands that God sets out there first. You ask for wisdom to face this challenge, this difficulty, this trial. God gives it generously to you. This is what James says. He leads his letter with this because he knows that when we try to live a Christian life, that we can still get caught up in the difficulties of life, that we can still face challenges that come simply because we are Christians. So he tells us to be joyful because it reminds us of the gift of God and the promises of God, and then to ask God for the resources that we need to help us get through that. I'd like to conclude just by reminding us of these things. I was reminded of these things this week. My uncle and I talked quite a bit. I think we were probably annoying at times because him and I would do what other people call talk shop, because both of us are preachers, but we also shared a lot of things about the lessons that we were teaching that we've taught. And through this trial, my faith was strengthened enough to actually participate in the funeral service for my grandfather. I didn't think I'd be able to when I thought about it and when I first heard the news. But I went down there, and as we talked about it, my uncle offered to do part of it. My dad offered to do part of it. And I offered to say a prayer and to read some scripture. And through the strengthening of my faith that came as I learned how to rely more on God, and through the strengthening of my faith that came when I saw the care and concern of the rest of the believers, not only from the other churches, but also from this church, my faith was strengthened to get up and to speak in hope and in joy, because of the promises that God has given us. The trials that we face, even when they go on for a long time, are but momentary in God's larger picture. God has promised us that He will rescue us from all enemies, from all challenges, from all difficulties, and He already has in Christ. We don't always remember that. And that's why we have some of these teachings that remind us that God rescues us. He promises to do that. And when we encounter trials in our lives, we're simply following the pattern and the example of Jesus, who already, our Savior, who already went through these things ahead of us to leave us an example, and He helps us if we'll simply turn to Him. This morning, may we all be encouraged to share life with each other so that when others of us face challenges and difficulties, that we'll all be there for each other. But above all, that the presence of God would be in each of our lives, strengthening us, bringing us closer to Him, drawing us close, especially in times of trial. May we always remember Jesus and follow His example and pattern for our lives. Let's pray. Father, help us to learn deeply this morning that You have not promised us an easy life, but You have promised us to be with us all through life. Help us to learn from the example of Jesus that He Himself went through the very things that we face. And I pray that You'll help us to turn to Him, to find strength in Him, and strengthen each other. Bring us through the trials and challenges of life, Father, into the great eternal promise that You have granted to us all in Christ. We pray in His name. Amen. This morning, as we close our time, we always offer an opportunity for those who would request prayer or discussion about your spiritual life, or for those who may desire even this morning to be baptized into the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of sin and the gift of the Holy Spirit, which not only empowers you to live a godly life now, but is the guarantee of eternal life, to live one day forever with Jesus. If we can help you with any of these things, please let us know as we stand and sing.